You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Happy Friday. It is 6:06 on this fourth day of April 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or on Facebook, or on YouTube. So many different ways to join the party, and we're glad you're here to wrap up the week. Coming up this morning, if you are any kind of a regular listener on Fridays, you know the drill. We're going to have Kia Vakil here from Courier Newsroom at about 6:30. Tariffs, of course, will be the main thing, of course, from what the president announced this week. Now, Kia Vakil is our editor at Courier Newsroom, one of them, edits all of my copy for Up North News and for all of the other correspondents in our other state outlets. So he has seen many stories on what the Trump trade war is going to do, not just in Wisconsin, but in Michigan and in Pennsylvania and other states. And so he'll talk a bit about that along with some of the other headlines of the past week. We're going to have our Week in Review panel in our second hour with a little bit of a shakeup. We will have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We will have journalist Jennifer Schulze. But in place of Mark Jacob, we'll have Mark Pocan, the congressman. He was going to join us on Wednesday, but then the Speaker of the House had what I believe the technical political term is hissy fit, and sent everybody home early. So the congressman was actually flying home when he would normally have been here on Wednesday. So he's going to be here today to talk a bit about what is happening at the Capitol. And we'll get to some more of the week's headlines. The word of the day is stagflation, because we're going to party like it's 1979 as we talk more about what's happening with the economy. Coming up in a bit, Brittany Merlot will have our forecast. Dan Schumacher will help us talk about sports. And along the way, of course, you can join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that Civic Media app to text us, or use the comment section on Facebook or YouTube to reach out to us. And using that Civic Media app, it's the final day of our Break into Spring Text to Win contest. So an hour from now, we'll be giving a keyword for an hourly prize and your chance to enter into the grand prize drawing of a new queen mattress set from Verlo. And look, if you haven't done it till now, it only takes one entry to win. So get that Civic Media app and get set to text us the keyword that we're going to tell you about next hour. Let's see. Meanwhile, over in the comments section, Alicia on YouTube says, I think hissy fit is very fitting, or even temper tantrum. Yes, agree. Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook, 10 years ago today. Oh my gosh, it has been 10 years, hasn't it? The Wisconsin Badgers ended Kentucky's undefeated season, courtesy of Frank the Tank Kaminsky, and the Badgers were 71-64 winners over the Wildcats in the 2015 Final Four. I remember that very well. We were living on Grand Cayman at the time. And so you had people who were from Wisconsin down there on their spring break and just thrilled that the Badgers were in the Final Four. It was quite an electric time. Would have been nice to see them be national champions. But hey, yeah, you can never take away that game against Kentucky. Brewers were winners yesterday, 1-0 over the Cincinnati Reds. Remember Nestor Cortez? You know, our new pitcher that we acquired from the Yankees. Remember last week against the Yankees? 3 home runs on the first 3 pitches of the game. Yeah, he settled down real good yesterday. He allowed just 1 hit over 6 innings, and the Brewers beat the slumping Reds 1-0. The Reds lost 1-0 for the 3rd game in a row. And this is really weird trivia, but Cincinnati became the first team to lose 3 games in a row by a score of 1-0 since 1960. And before that, you have to go to the 1900s for the last time that happened. That series will continue at American Family Field coming up tonight. The first pitch is at 7:10, so coverage will begin at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward, and yeah. Give a listen there. Look, I've come this far. I may as well keep up with the sports here because Giannis Antetokounmpo became the first player in NBA history to have this arcane statistic. 35 points, 17 rebounds, and 20 assists as the Bucks beat the 76ers in Philadelphia last night, 126-113. Their road trip continues tomorrow in Miami, Sunday in New Orleans, and then they are back home Tuesday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. There, we got all the dorky sports stats out of the way so that we can get an update on our other sport, and that is Greg Bach, CPAP wearer. Mr. Bach, good morning. How is night number two breathing better?
Night two, breathing even better. I feel like I should have, like, old-timey college football. Da, 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 da. I'm the king of breathing. Same thing. Like it's weird having a thing on, like, you know, wearing a mask on your face or whatever, and just trying to stay comfortable in one position. And I did. I slept for 6 hours. I'm a little groggy. If there's other people out there with CPAP machines listening right now, is it normal to wake up even just like a little groggy? Especially in the beginning, because my head has pressure, but like I told you before the show, Pat, by mid-morning, early afternoon, everything's cleared up and I'm feeling really good, and I didn't expect any like true results until maybe a week in. And I will say this, yesterday I did not doze off once during the day, and when I say that, like, some people are like, oh, you're tired, you get up early in the morning. No. I doze off anywhere between 10 to 20 times a day, usually.
Wow.
Did not doze off once. I felt awake. I sat on the couch and watched television yesterday, and I didn't fall asleep. I had energy, and just everything felt a little clearer. And yeah, I'm very, I like nothing about the CPAP machine as far as it's like, you know, cumbersome.
Yes.
Nature, but mm-hmm. The results are fantastic.
Can't argue with that. You know, my cousin Chris sent a note the other day, liked that we were telling these stories because he's fairly new to it and says it completely changed his life. And he really appreciated the affirmation out of you. So
excellent. Awesome.
Who knows how many lives you're saving this week?
I'm saving none.
Let's see. Laughing Tap. I'll bet they're doing some shows there this weekend.
Yeah. And also thank you, Shizu, for the comment on the live stream. Appreciate that. Yes. Tonight we have Matt Alano Martin and Kristen Lighty co-headlining for one show at the club. It's going to be a lot of fun, and AJ Grill is hosting. So it's going to be a really fun show. Kristen is in her work life, in her day job, she is a union organizer up in Green Bay.
Oh.
And Matt Alano Martin is a comedy legend from Indiana, and they're going to come in through for one show. It's going to be really fun. Then tomorrow we have our local laugh showcase, which highlights some of the best comedians in Wisconsin, two shows. All those tickets are available on laughingtap.com. We're going to have a really great time. It's going to be laid back. Come on out. If you see me, you'll see me. I'll be the guy with the beard who had a really good night's sleep, and yes. Give me a high five.
You see, normally you'd know him because he was dozing off.
Exactly.
Not this time.
Exactly.
Brittany Merlot says things are going to get calm for the weekend here. Calm, but still chilly for this time of year. Her state forecast for today says increasing clouds and seasonal patchy light rain late, especially in southern Wisconsin. Highs today up north in the upper 40s. Down south in the low 50s with a southeast wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, light rain in parts of southern Wisconsin, a small chance of drizzle and flurries elsewhere. Lows tonight up north around 30, upper 30s in the south, and a very light northerly wind. Temperatures at the bus stop this hour are as such. Lake Wissota, 24 degrees right now here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward's at 28, Amory 26, Wausau's at 26 degrees. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 25. La Crosse, 29. Green Bay at 32, Madison's at 27, and it's 35 all across the Milwaukee Metro. And yes, I know that, speaking of hissy fits, I believe you could properly describe that for me yesterday, saying I'm done with these temperatures in the 20s in the mornings.
Yep.
Now, the sun came out up here, you know, late in the day. We took the neighbor's dog for a long walk. It was gorgeous. And I thought, oh, this is it. We've turned the corner. Yay, spring is here. And I wake up and I look and, you know, like I said, it's what, 20, 24 degrees right now. Yeah. Now I'm grouchy again. Until I look out the window and I see how much lighter it's getting already this time of year. No, that's not a window. You don't have a window there. That's a window into the next
Pat, year. I see something. It looks like light there. Yeah.
I do like that. I like that about this time of year. You know. And because it's actually, you notice it more later in the day now,
mm-hmm.
8 o'clock, you're still seeing that nice little ribbon of light in the western horizon.
I know there's a lot of argument over daylight savings time, pro and con, which version do we settle on, but I will say this, I'm sorry, but I just love daylight in the evening. I love, especially summertime.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Those later days when it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock and there's still daylight. I'm just like, this is nice. I want to keep this forever too.
There was a story in the Milwaukee Journal this week about some legislators. Here it is. Daylight savings time would end under a bipartisan bill in the legislature. 14 lawmakers from both parties have signed up to forego daylight savings time. Allow me to speak to all 14 of those authors. You're wrong. Stop it. We don't want to not have daylight saving time. We want permanent daylight saving time. What we've got in the summertime, we want that all year long.
Not everybody, though, Pat. I'm sorry to say that. Yeah.
Look, in the middle of summer or in the early summer, when the sun's already coming up at 5 a.m., I don't want it coming up at 4 a.m., which is what would happen if we didn't have daylight saving time. You're missing it all. You're wasting all of that daylight.
May I make a very quick compromise? Let's say we split the difference. We do this. All right. Some time of the year, we have it where the time is a certain time. And then at, they say March, we like move the clocks forward ahead an hour. And then for summertime, that's your solution right there. And then we move the clocks back. There you go. I gave you compromise.
Compromise or status quo, whatever you want to call it. Alicia says, yes, permanent daylight savings. I don't want to fall back. Yes.
Yeah.
So I got one on my team here. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about stagflation. And we don't want to dwell on what could go wrong with the economy. It's just that, if you saw the markets yesterday, it appears there is no bottom. So let's at least talk about where we are in the short run because of these new trade wars. This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlau.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've got today's history lesson coming up in a half hour, and one of them that won't be on there, but has a birthday over the weekend, is Pharrell Williams. And I had his age listed here, and now I don't have it in front of me. So, happy birthday, whatever it is, Pharrell. You know what? We won't tell. You know, you can be forever young and forever happy with that hit that was number one on his birthday back in 2014. Greg was soliciting any advice from listeners about CPAP machines, whether he's using them correctly. And so from Shizu, get some skin cream for your nose, Greg. So
well,
there you go. Skin cream for your nose. And
Okay. Also
says you're correct with the pronunciation of Shizu. So, yeah, nailed it.
I think it just, yeah, the little air, because it's a nose. It's called the nasal pillows, which I just sounds like a band I never would have listened to. but it just goes around the nostril areas. But, yes, that, you're very right. It's like I should get some, like, maybe some, like, pads to like clean the skin, and then yeah, because it's a little irritated, but it goes away. Yeah, it's as I said in Aladdin, it's a whole new world.
Oh, it is. I mean, it just takes a little getting used to it. Yeah. Maybe little things like that will get it done. 51 for Pharrell Williams.
51 for my God, 51. Okay. And I'm looking at a picture taken yesterday. He looks like he's 12.
Yes, I know. In our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts it together, and among the stories in there today, four of Wisconsin's most beautiful libraries, the 50 greatest Milwaukee Brewers players, as compiled by a website someplace, and you know it's based largely on statistics, but you know there's a little bit of intangibles in there as well, and a story about Wisconsin farmers. How they're getting hosed by a guy who told them how important they were and how good he was going to be to them. And now he has broken payment contracts, cut off export markets, ended the humanitarian aid that supported them and fed the world. But don't take it out on the farmers, even though many voted for Trump. Because when farmers suffer, we all suffer. So the story, the point of the story is actually six ways to support local farmers. And so look for that in our newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and sign up for that. There is also the weekend edition of our newsletter that comes out on Sunday mornings. That one has a political focus, and I've got to get that written right after the show. I'm sure it's going to include a summary and analysis of election results, some of what our state elected officials have been saying and doing this week, and our question of the week. And it's under the topic of tax relief. Okay, so not just tax cuts, because there's many different ways you can provide tax relief. So again, we put you in the chair of a legislator or a congressional representative, and we give you a couple of different options and say, which of these options would you go with for providing tax relief? So that's in our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. So speaking of tax relief and stagflation and the economy and everything else, yes, we have to talk about that word, because those of us who have lived through it, and I guess most of us have here of a certain age, don't really want to party like it's 1979 all over again, or 1973. For folks who aren't familiar with it, stagflation is the worst of all worlds. It's a case, here's the way Axios explains it. Usually, unemployment and inflation move in opposite directions. A bad job market at least has the silver lining of low inflation, like in 2009, or high inflation at least comes alongside plentiful job opportunities, like in 2022. But instead, when you get the condition where you have a stagnant economy, inflation, and high unemployment, that's what stagflation is. And you almost have to work hard to screw up the economy to get it to that point. But that leads us to Trump's trade wars and the tariffs and the retaliatory tariffs and everything else that has put a ship's anchor around what had been the best post-COVID recovery among all the developed countries. When we get the GDP figures for the first quarter of this year, we may actually see shrinkage. We may actually see that the economy contracted in the first quarter. Trump's answer of tariffs is not universally accepted by Republicans, by, you know, real Republicans, not whatever this MAGA thing is. The Republicans that you and I know have a sense of history. They know that Republicans were the party of tariffs in 1890, and that in the next election, they lost half of their seats in Congress. And they tried tariffs again in 1930. And again, they lost so many seats. Republicans did not hold the majority in Congress again for 60 years. Over the past 60 years, we have built up a network based on global trade, which means trade agreements, not isolationism. And all of these agreements, some work, some don't, some have to be tinkered with, some have to be negotiated, and Mr. Art of the Deal seems to be having trouble doing that. And as a result, we're already seeing things like Whirlpool has announced massive layoffs at their factory in Iowa, which is a double whammy when you consider that Republicans in the Iowa legislature recently cut jobless benefits. So hundreds and hundreds of workers there are about to be without a job and without the benefits that they otherwise would have expected. Axios goes on to report that the University of Michigan's long-running consumer sentiment survey dropped for the fourth straight month in March, the steepest declines in what Americans, including Republicans surveyed, expect for the future. Two-thirds of Americans now expect unemployment to rise over the next year. That's the highest share since the Great Recession year of 2009. Now, some of the other headlines have talked about how, well, Donald Trump just has this appetite for risk. He's willing to gamble. That's one way to frame it. The other way to frame it is he will always shoot the hostage. I mean, except for the very wealthy, you'd be hard-pressed to identify a group that he hasn't double-crossed at some point in time, like the farmers that I just talked about. People say, well, this is all just a starting point for negotiations. No, you cannot point to any successful negotiated deal out of this guy. It's always about threatening a hostage, shooting the hostage, accepting just any little smidge of progress when Canada says, oh yeah, we'll create a position that we've actually already created, and then he'll declare victory. So he gets victory, but at what cost? The cost this time around might be stagflation. We'll continue the conversation with Kia Vakil. After this, you're up north.
If you know what happiness is, you clap along if you feel like that's what you want.
All right, welcome back. It is 6:34 on a Friday morning. That's provided that I hit the record and the play buttons at just the right time. And we give you our every so often reminder that our conversations with Kia are pre-recorded because right now it's 4:30 in the morning out in California. And we wouldn't want Kia doing morning radio at that hour. And I mention it this week because as we're recording this, the stock market is plunging into territory where you could shout your name and the echo wouldn't come back for a while. That might change by the time this airs, but I'm betting it won't. Kia Vakil, hello. How are you?
Hey, Pat. I am all right. I am drowning in news and chaos and, you know, but yes. I personally am doing okay.
Well, yeah, you and I were talking before taping, and we both were of a mindset some time back going, why don't we move some of our investment stuff, you know, to safer places? And that's fine. But a lot of people, you know, that's out of their control. This has not been, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Wall Street, but for, you know, for people's retirement accounts and things, this has not been a great week. I wonder why.
No. And, you know, I also have zero sympathy. If it's possible to have less than zero sympathy for Wall Street, I have less than zero sympathy. But people, we live in a country where most people rely on, you know, their investments to retire. We do not give enough via Social Security or other programs. So it matters. If you are in your early to mid 60s and you are on the verge of retiring or were thinking about it and you see your portfolio go down by 4%, that could be the difference between waiting another couple years or retiring now. It's a huge difference. It affects small business owners. Obviously, we're talking about Trump's tariffs policy, which he imposed a comical amount of tariffs on Wednesday that seem to have been generated by AI. If you look at it closely, which really just says a lot, because, you know, we have an administration that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. And, you know, tariffs could be used in a logical, strategic, coherent way to try to onshore jobs and get companies to build investments, put investments in the US to, you know, have more cars manufactured here, have more steel manufactured here, and whatnot. But that's not what's happening. These tariffs make zero sense. They are happening while we are alienating the rest of the world. Companies don't invest when they don't know what's going to happen in 6 months, in 2 years, in 4 years. It is completely incoherent, and you don't need an economics degree to see that. It is just Scott Bessent, who is Trump's Treasury Secretary, could not even answer questions about who was getting tariffed, why they were getting tariffed, whether negotiations were going to happen. Him and the press secretary are not on the same page. It is just 18 cars, 18 clowns in a clown car, none of whom seem to be talking to each other.
Well, perhaps that's made evident by the list of countries and territories that are subject to tariffs. Among them, yep. Heard Island and McDonald Islands. These are Australian territories next door to Antarctica with many mm-hmm. penguins, but mm-hmm. no people. And yet Trump imposed tariffs on them anyway. When you say AI generated, I mean, I have nobody has any reason to doubt that.
Yeah, no, and there's also a tariff on an island that the only thing there is a U.S. military base. So he's taxing an American military base. So, and you know, there's no way Donald Trump came up with the list of places and the percentages. This is his like 26-year-old incel, you know, Doge Treasury advisors who just literally went to ChatGPT or Gemini or any of these other AI softwares and were like, what is a good, who do we tariff and what is the way to do it that's fair? You know, if you look at Twitter, like a lot of people have figured out the way they got to their formulas because they are an across the board formula that they use based on like trade deficit and reciprocal tariffs. And so we're taxing a lot of our allies way more than we're taxing our enemies. We're taxing tiny countries way more than we're taxing major. Like it just is completely incoherent. And we're already seeing, you know, layoff announcements. Stellantis is announcing temporary layoffs about, I think it was around 900 employees, including some in the Midwest. And this isn't going to get better. You know, at best, they're going to negotiate and walk some of these back. But Trump has been talking about tariffs since the late 1980s. This is a guy who, of all the things he's been consistent on, it's tariffs and it's, you know, deporting people without due process. And that's it. So I don't know why Wall Street was shocked. You know, we had people for months reporting, good reporters all across the country reporting that he would do this. And now he's doing it. And the only difference is it's dumber and more aggressive than anyone thought.
and some of the things that he said, I mean, he again, in his Rose Garden remarks, criticized the creation of the income tax back in 1913, saying it was a mystery why the nation ever instituted one. Well, we know why. It was so that, you know, rich guys like him could actually pay their fair share in taxes instead of relying just on tariffs, where those costs are borne, you know, primarily by middle and lower income people. So, I mean, we know his worldview. We know the billionaires around him thought they'd be helped. But again, as we tape this, just shares of Tesla, not just shares in Tesla, just Elon Musk's shares of Tesla have lost $6 billion in a half a day. So I see that might be why Elon Musk is looking at leaving the White House, and to which Wisconsin says to the nation, you're welcome. We've done our part here, Kia.
Yeah, I mean, it will be Elon Musk is the gift that keeps on giving for, you know, Democrats, you know, and I want to couch that by, you know, not being gleeful, because what he's doing is absolutely atrocious. He is taking away veterans benefits from people. He is making it harder for rural seniors and disabled seniors to get questions answered about Social Security. You know, they are gutting public health funding. They are firing people working on cures for things like Alzheimer's. It's an absolute disaster. And none of it's well thought out. None of it makes any sense other than if your goal is to just wreck the American government and economy, and what few pieces of public infrastructure were working. You know, Musk is a fascist, and so is Donald Trump. And, you know, if he's going to, you know, sort of recede into the background in May, as has been reported, you know, that can only be a good thing for America, because billionaires who are fascists, I mean, billionaires in general, should not have this much power over the country. And, you know, I think if Republicans have any self-preservation instincts, which is, you know, a question that remains up in the air, they would be very happy that he's going away.
Well, and in doing so, there is this lesson that, you know, folks are drawing here in Wisconsin that, again, for all of the money that has poured into politics since the Citizens United decision, that people would say, gosh, at what point, where's the tipping point where people go, enough of this, and this you know, again, only time will tell, forgive the cliche, but it does have this feeling like people looked at this one and said, this is too far. You're putting $20 million into a race in a state where you don't live. And that's just wrong. Do we think that that maybe carries over? Is this a blip? And in 2026, we're going to see billionaires as active as ever? Or did they see the $20 million figure and go, okay, I can invest, but not that much?
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, $20 million is, I haven't done the math, but I'd be willing to bet fractions of a penny to Elon Musk.
Oh, nice.
It is, you know, about 5 seconds of his day. Because that's how much money this man has. And that is, it is immoral to have that much money, to be able to spend $20 million on one judicial race in one state, and for it to not affect your wealth at all is crazy. I unfortunately don't think this is going to be a tipping point, because, you know, billionaires are getting their money's worth. We're seeing a tax cut in the works, likely to pass in the next month or two, that will add to the deficit, will potentially cut Medicaid and other key programs that tens of millions of working class families rely on, just to give billionaires and big corporations some more money in their pockets. And that's ultimately what they want. That's why they spend on elections to elect Republicans, because they know Republicans will pass deficit busting tax cuts to help pad their bottom lines. And, you know, I really want to go back to a pre, or I guess now post, Citizens United world, because it has just completely altered our politics in the worst ways imaginable. We are an oligarchy, as Bernie Sanders would like to say.
Let's talk about the tariff impact at the local level. We've certainly talked about that here in Wisconsin. I've seen coverage about it affecting things like, you know, craft beer, and our sister publication, the Keystone in Pennsylvania, has Governor Shapiro talking about craft beer. I liked how the folks at the Gander in Michigan called it a tariff tsunami. Have seen no shortage of stories from all of our sister outlets about what these tariffs are going to do at the hometown level.
Oh, it's going to absolutely decimate small businesses. You know, big corporations will be able to handle this. They will probably raise their prices. They might earn slightly less in profits, but small businesses, craft brewers, you know, furniture stores or furniture create designers, you know, farmers, everything's more expensive now to import. It is a global economy. You know, we can argue over whether the neoliberal order has been good, you know, of the last 40 years of deregulation and outsourcing. Spoiler alert, it has been very bad for a lot of American workers. But we now live in a global interconnected economy. To try to overnight change that is not possible. As we saw in COVID, it's going to lead to supply shock and price shock, and it's just going to devastate these small business owners who a lot of them get by month to month. They don't know how they're going to be able to afford this. If they raise their prices and people stop coming and buying stuff, they might not survive. And so this is not like a joking matter. It's a really, really serious thing. And it's going to lead to small businesses closing. It's going to lead to people losing their jobs. It's going to lead to prices going up. It's going to lead to less investments. There is, you know, you can talk about the long run. Maybe this will help bring some jobs back. And if it was coherent, yeah, I would be on board with that. But as I've said, it is completely incoherent, and the pain is going to be real. You're going to start to see unemployment numbers rise if these tariffs stay in place. You're going to start to see consumer spending go down. It could be a vicious cycle that really drags us into a pretty nasty recession.
You know, it reminds me of repeal and replace with the Affordable Care Act, where it was always, we got to repeal this. Well, what's your replacement? Oh, you'll see. It'll be big and beautiful. And thankfully, they weren't able to do the repeal. But here they are. They're actually repealing the stability that came with global trade, which, again, I'm not saying it was perfect, but they've repealed everything with, again, no real plan to replace it with something that is coherent. And if they did, I think they'd get a lot more buy-in from Americans going, okay, we'll give that a try. But it like you said, it seems like it's not there, to the point where a handful of Republicans in the U.S. Senate voted for a resolution that would essentially, Congress can rescind some of a president's authority to impose tariffs. Key, is there any chance that there'd be enough Republicans in the House that would pass it? And even if they were, would President Trump sign it? The answer is no, by the way.
The answer is no. House Republicans are, I would bet my left arm, they don't do that. And even if somehow they did under pressure from their donors, Trump would not sign it. He would rescind them on his own before he ever gave up any sort of power. And yeah, to your point, you know, the problem is not trying to rebalance the global order of trade and manufacturing. There is a case to be made for trying to rebuild U.S. manufacturing. We saw the Biden administration try to do that with mixed results. We've had entire pockets of the Midwest decimated because of, you know, global outsourcing jobs and creating manufacturing in other countries where it's cheaper and there are, you know, weaker labor standards. That is a real problem. That is something to resolve. But you have to replace something with something. You can't just break it and then be like, oh, it'll immediately get better. But if we just do tariffs, you have to have an actual strategy, and they do not have one. I'm willing to bet there are a handful of people in the administration who have theories of how to do this, but you cannot tell me that Donald Trump has thought beyond tariff good, let's do tariff. You know, they've used AI to do it. They're tariffing penguins and U.S. military bases. So again, it's just incoherent and it's going to hurt Americans.
Last I checked, the Dodgers were undefeated heading into Thursday night. You ever going to get out to Chavez Ravine and see a game?
Oh, most definitely. Weather is good. Spring's here. I'll definitely get out to a game in the next couple of weeks or months to see Shohei.
Oh, gosh. Weather's good. That would be outstanding. I'd love to see a game out
there.
Yeah,
you guys got snow. I don't know what's going on there.
I know. Kia, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's political editor, senior national correspondent. We'll have today's history lesson coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Kids! I don't know what's wrong with these kids today. Kids! Who can understand anything they say? Kids! They are disobedient, disrespectful oafs. Noisy, crazy, sloppy, lazy loafers. While we're on the subject, kids, you can talk and
this
talk,
would be
your face is blue.
Paul Lynn from Bye Bye Birdie.
But they still do just what they want to do.
With this perfect line.
Why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way?
Exactly, right? Those darn kids. The film version of the play starred Paul Lynn, Janet Leigh, Dick Van Dyke, Maureen Stapleton, Bobby Rydell, Anne Margaret, and Ed Sullivan as himself, again, opened 62 years ago today. That was 1963. Let's move ahead to 1964. And I believe Roger put this up on Facebook as well about how the Beatles, yes, had all five top spots on the Billboard Hot 100. So the Hot 100 this day in 1964, the number five song was Please Please Me. Number four was I Want to Hold Your Hand. Number three was She Loves You. Number two was Twist and Shout. And the number one song 61 years ago today.
Can't buy me love,
I think the only group who came close to it was the Bee Gees, who later in the 70s had five of the top 10.
Yes, and then we have a couple weeks back, we had one where four of the top five were either the Bee Gees or Bee Gees written or produced or background singers. Now, look, it's happened several times since with Taylor Swift and others, but that's, I mean, streaming is very easy. This was, you had to go to the record store and buy these things.
And they didn't even sound scan back then. They didn't have, they people were writing these things out, sending them to the record companies, and oh my God.
It was a big deal, kids.
Yeah.
The actor Anthony Perkins was born this day in 1932. Folks remember him best as Norman Bates in Psycho. Clive Davis, the founder of Arista Records, the music mogul, he's 93 today, still with us.
Yeah.
Clive Davis still throws big red carpet parties for the big awards. Robert Downey Jr. turns 60 today.
Iron Man.
60-year-old Iron Man. That's some rust right there, kids.
I got to take an iron pill.
The late actor Heath Ledger was born this day in 1979. And another sad anniversary, but has to be noted that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated this day in 1968, prompting this ode to the times from the singer Dion.
Anybody here see my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone?
Tell you what, that song first came out. If it didn't rip your heart out, nothing would.
Yeah.
Done by Dion DiMucci. Not Dino. Sometimes it falls out the
and
wrong way.
Honestly, it reminds me a lot like when, you know, Dion was known for like bubblegum pop hits.
Yeah. And, yes. Yeah. And, this was like a comeback hit.
Yeah.
It was like, wow.
And it's like when Sam Cooke went from, you know, let's have a party to a change is going to come.
Yes. Yes. Well, that was the 1960s in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Microsoft. It was founded this day in 1975 by Bill Gates and Paul Allen. At the top of the album chart this week in 1981 was the album Paradise Theater by Styx.
Styx.
Could anything sound more early 80s rock than Styx? Yeah. Too Much Time on My Hand was also on that chart.
Great tune.
Happy birthday to NATO. Don't know how much longer you got left.
Yeah. You might be retiring soon.
Yes. You were born this day in 1949 with the first 12 nations to sign the North Atlantic Treaty, creating the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The number one song this day in 1987 was by Starship.
Okay, I'm sorry, Styx. We're going to have to take that So 80s award from you and just pass it right over to the final form of Grace Slick.
Yes, that could be it. This was from the movie Mannequin with Kim Cattrall at the time. Andrew McCarthy, long before Sex and the City or other projects that they would do. It was a cute little movie for 1987.
And youngish Estelle Getty.
Youngish. Kendrick Lamar's critically acclaimed album To Pimp a Butterfly hit number one on the album chart this day in 2015. On this day in 1818... Congress adopted a flag for the United States with 13 red and white stripes and then one star for each state, which at the time in 1818 was 20. So the very first official stars and stripes had 20 flags on it at this point. This is April 4th, 4-4. So today is National 404 Day. And who doesn't love getting a 404 error when you're surfing the internet where it says 404, page not found? 404 was the original HTML code for a dead link or a broken link.
I like it when websites try to make it look funny. You're like, this isn't funny. I'm trying to find something.
I know. Well, at least they do it. At first, all 404s look the same, like, meh. You know, now at least they try to go, hey, sorry, buddy.
Here's the puppy.
Yeah, try something else. Happy School Librarian Day. It's also a day for hospital admitting clerks.
Nice.
And another occupation today, this is Hug a News Person Day.
Oh, I'm hugging Stuart J. Waddles later.
Has to be a day. No, there rarely will you find a group that is one move away from a visit to HR than news people. So,
wow.
I've worked in newsroom. Look, we do a lot of these sitcoms and things that are staged in like high schools and things like that. You want clicks, office romances, hijinks of all kinds. You got to do more newsroom sitcoms, kids. But till they get that, if you see a news person today, say, allow me to offer you this virtual hug. And then step back. Congressman Mark Pocan is part of our Week in Review panel coming up in the second hour of Up North News and your chance to win in the Break into Spring Text to Win contest. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.